filled this room up with people who made room in their life to take the Lord's Supper. It's a holy and beautiful moment, and I want to remind you that we have the Lord's Supper the first Saturday night of every month. And you would do your soul well to put that on your calendar. Our dear Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus taught us that we could grow, that we could change, that we could become people who are the image bearers of God. And so I pray that in this series you would teach us how to be emotionally and spiritually healthy, so that the life of Christ is evident in us and through us. In Christ's name, amen. This week I read an article by a lady named Sarah Schwart, and it's an article that is understandable on how your brain works, specifically on how our brain changes. All right. Some of you have heard someone say to you, you're never going to change. Some of you have said to yourself, I guess I'm just going to have to live with this because this is just who I am. It turns out God created our brains with a capacity for real change. When I think about myself, there I recognize that 18-year-old buck that I once was. I recognize him in there. But I also know that I have changed. I haven't driven my car 100 miles an hour for a long, long time. It doesn't make sense to me anymore. Right? So we can all look at our lives and say, some stuff in me seems the same as it always did. But we can also look at our lives and say, I recognize that in some meaningful ways, I've changed. So Sarah says in her article, we're able to become different kinds of people because of four qualities in our brain, or four qualities about our brain. And the first one she calls neuroplasticity. This simply means that the nerve cells in your brain are capable of changing. So we all have neuropathways. If you're like me, you drove to church today and you didn't really concentrate on driving. You've got a neural pathway for driving. Now, if you can remember being 16 and how you concentrated on driving then, before you had a neural pathway, you can recognize the value of neural pathways, right? You paid a whole lot more attention when you were in driver's training driving than you do now. Because we have these neural pathways. All right. It turns out that neural pathways can be created. And they're predominantly created by focus and by practice. I know some of you say I'm too old to learn new things. That's not scientifically true. They've actually done research, and you can learn just fine. The problem is you're hard to threaten when you get to be too old with bad grades. All right. The second characteristic is called brain agility. Now, brain agility is the idea that our brain responds to what we do. If you develop a lifestyle where you don't really press yourself with anything hard, you lose brain agility. For example, if you study a foreign language for an hour or you watch TV for an hour, your brain functions at different levels. Your brain's got to work a whole lot harder to start or study a foreign language for an hour than it does to watch TV for an hour. All right. The more you do hard stuff with your head, the more brain agility you have. The easier you make it on yourself and never really make yourself do any hard thinking, you lose brain agility, right? I mean, there was a time that I could run a mile, no problem. I don't know if I can walk a mile right now. I lost a little agility. All right. So, the harder I make myself think, the more my brain changes. The easier I make it on myself, the less my brain changes. Then there's a characteristic she calls mindset mastery. This is a fixed mind or a growth mind. A fixed mind believes there's only one piece of pie, and if you lose a piece, you'll never get it back. It means I have to avoid things that I might fail at. A growth mentality says, hey, failing is part of growing. If you're not failing at something, you're not doing hard enough things. You got to challenge yourself, right? It's like anytime you learn something new, at the beginning you're going to do worse than after you've done it for a while. If you've never played the violin, the first time you pick it up, it's not going to be pretty. Trust me, I started learning to play the violin when I was 50. But if you practice a half hour a day for the next 10 years, you're going to be pretty good. All right. Then she talks about the last characteristic is very interesting for me as a Christian. She calls it simplicity. So we do the thinking with the reasoning in our frontal lobes. And what the secularists called mindfulness, it's being still and just paying attention to the moment. It's not letting your mind rush. It's being very, very still and just paying attention and focusing on the moment. It turns out if you do that every day, you actually get more folds in your frontal lobe, and the more folds you have, the better thinker you are. You process stuff better. So, scientifically, it's provable that our brains can change. And as our brains change and we think differently, we also create different emotional and spiritual patterns. My emotional and spiritual patterns are directly connected to the way I think. So if I change the way I think, I can change my emotions and I can change my spiritual nature. And that's exactly what Christ is trying to teach us in John's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. All right. In Christ's lifetime, this was a very visceral illustration because there were vineyards all over Israel. I don't know anything about vineyards, other than I kind of like the liquid stuff that they produce there. What if we take this illustration and we turn it into something that we are more connected with in our everyday life. And instead of saying, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser, what if we say it this way? Everything I need to think and feel in a healthy way is available to me through Jesus Christ. Everything I need to think and feel in a healthy way is available to me through Jesus Christ. And then I add to that, and I have a heavenly Father who's totally committed to the process. He is the vine dresser. He's totally committed to something from the thinking and the feeling of Christ flowing into me and making me a person that is productive in a way that's pleasing to him. He's totally committed. I don't have to do it myself. Now I have an illustration that's easier for me to think about than vines and branches and grapes and vineyard keepers. And okay, I want to be a healthy man. I want to think well, and I want my emotions to be healthy. Christ is the source of that for me. And my heavenly Father is totally committed to nurturing the relationship of Christ and my soul so that the healthiness of Christ flows into me and I become a productive person. That's the image I want to work with. So how does this process work? Well, I have to admit that I've got branches that aren't fruitful. Let's take the illustration out of it. I have to admit that I have thought patterns and emotional responses that aren't healthy. I got to start there. Everybody in the room has to say, I have thought patterns that aren't healthy, and I have emotional patterns that aren't healthy. And if I'm going to be a productive life, those have to be taken out of my life. I got to change the way I think, and I got to change the way I respond. That's where we start. There are some branches that have to go. They're not healthy, they're not productive, they're not good. They got to go. Well, what might those look like? Let's just mention three. We develop unhealthy anger responses. Listen, it's not that we chose to be angry, it's that we developed a angry pattern. Amen. And that angry pattern isn't healthy. Church? Yeah. You know I hate Route 18 and 71. I hate it. It is the worst place in America. Okay. I didn't get up one day and say, I'm going to be angry the rest of my life with 18 and 71. It's just the habit I have. You people who have to come running up in the right-hand lane and cut me off at the last minute, I pray you get a flat the next time you do that. But I mean that in a Christian kind of way. Okay. I don't have to be angry when I go there. Okay, but I've developed a pattern. Do you see? That is an unhealthy branch, and it has to go. I can't be the good man I want to be and let that branch keep sucking the life out of me. Church? Okay, some of you are feeling good that you're not very angry, but you check out. When things get uncomfortable and you become pressured, you are an emotional ghost. You just disappear. Oh, your body is still there, but you're long gone. You disengage. It's not that you chose to be that way. You develop that life pattern, and when you reach a certain level of discomfort, you disengage. You check out. It's not healthy. It doesn't work, but there it is. How about this one? Life gets a little too stressful, and we respond with self-indulgences. Look, it can be as simple as you had a stressful day, and it takes a gallon of ice cream to make you feel good again. And for some of you, it's not the gallon of ice cream, it's a gallon of something much more potent. And we develop unhealthy self-indulgence, and it becomes a pattern, and it's a pattern that robs us of living a quality life. Church? And these are just three examples. So Christ says, if you're going to be a healthy person, you have to start by acknowledging you got branches that have to go. You have ways of thinking and responding to life that don't work, they're not healthy for you, they hurt you and the people around you, and they got to go. And then he says there are some branches that don't have to go, they just have to be cleaned up. They got to be pruned. There are some intellectual and emotional patterns that you want to keep, but you want to clean them up. Let's talk about some of those. How about the first one? Fear. Or maybe I can be more specific. Fear-driven living. You're responding to life based on fear. You watched a little too much cable news and it got to you. And now you're afraid of the economy. You're afraid of disease. You're afraid of the world situation. There's just always one more thing to keep you at heightened fear alert. And it begins to affect how you act, how you think, and how you treat people. And it affects your decisions you make. Church? Yeah. All right, look. Fear can be a good thing. You see a 2,000-pound grizzly bear running at you, you should be afraid. And you should respond in an appropriate way. The trouble is, when you're responding to a 2,000-pound grizzly bear, that isn't there. That branch has to be pruned up. There's part of that that has to go. I don't want to cut the whole branch off. I don't want to rob myself of healthy fear. On the other hand, there are parts of fear that got to go. They have to be pruned. How about this one? An inconsistent devotion life. I do my best to teach you, every single one of us need a little God time every single day. Once a week doesn't work, church. Once a week is not enough. We need a little God time every single day. We need a little time where we read the Bible and let these good ideas calibrate our mind. We need a little time where we pray and we talk to God and we say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. Please forgive me for this. Help me to be a better man when I do this. We have to have this a little bit of God time in our life every day. All right. But what happens is we say to ourselves, I'll be all right. I'll just let it go today. Well, then tomorrow, it's a whole lot easier to let it go. And it isn't too long that you can't remember the last time you had a really good devotional moment. That's got to be pruned. That has to be pruned. You got to have a daily connection to the source. Without that daily connection to the source, you're not getting from Christ the healthy thinking and the healthy feeling you need, and it isn't too long that you begin to wither emotionally and spiritually. That's got to be pruned. How about this one? It sneaks up on us. You just start living like God doesn't want to bless you. I'm not saying you go out and do wicked things, but you just start adapting your life to the idea that I've got to do this myself because I don't really know if God wants to bless me or not. I'm not going to take any risk today because I'm not sure if God wants to bless me. So I'm just going to play it as safe as I can. That way, if God doesn't bless me, I'll be okay. That's got to be pruned. You know what? What if Christ said to you, as your faith be it unto you? You don't expect any blessings. You don't get any blessings because you're not expecting them. You don't have any room for them in your life. You wouldn't recognize it if he did bless you. See, that's got to be pruned. I want to get up every morning and I want to hear my brain say to me, God loves you and he's looking for ways to bless you today. Every day I want to hear a little voice in my brain say, go for it, dude. God is looking to bless you. Church? You see, I got to prune my thinking. I got to prune my emotions. If I don't, I start living a sub-quality Christian life because the patterns of my thinking and the patterns of my emotions are misdirecting me. All right. So how does this pruning take place? How does this cutting away take place? I have to start rewiring how my thought patterns and feeling patterns work. Let's start here. Where I recognize I have been angry and that branch has to go, it's not enough just to cut the old branch off. Something's got to be healthy to take its place. And patience takes its place. So day by day, whenever I feel angry, it reminds me that I'm letting go of that and I'm replacing it with patience. You hear it? I have to do it on purpose. I have to think about it. I have to practice it. I have to say, I'm driving on Route 18 and 71 today, and I'm letting everybody who wants to cut in front of me. Everyone. Because today, patience is going to win. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to go out of my way. As I have given energy to be angry in the past, I'm going to give energy today to be patient and actually practice replacing anger with patience. You see, if you start doing that over time, you rewire yourself, and where you had been angry, you find yourself being patient because you've rewired yourself to be patient. You've cut off the anger branch, and you've grown a patient branch in its place. Church? Instead of checking out, you consciously plan to engage in a healthy way. In the past, when you would have got quiet and gone to that place in your head, You say, instead of doing that, I'm going to say the healthiest thing I can think of. I'm going to pre-plan to say something healthy that's engaging. Maybe the best I can say is, could we change the subject to something more pleasant? Okay, but I plan. I am cutting off the branch of checking out, and I'm pre-planning, I'm pre-wiring myself. When this comes up the next time, I'm going to engage in this healthy way, and I'm going to tell myself what that will look like. And the more I practice doing that, the more healthy engagement takes the place of checking out. Let's do self-indulgence. Maybe it's been your pattern to permit yourself to do something you don't feel good about and you feel guilty about after you've done it. You've indulged yourself in an inappropriate way. All right, that's going to come up again in your life. It's not like that's going to go away tomorrow. You can pre-plan and say, when I feel the temptation to be self-indulgent, I am going to respond with this self-discipline. I'm not saying I'll never drink a gallon of bourbon again. I'm not making that promise, but I am saying the next time I'm not drinking a gallon of bourbon. You know, I know you're not drinking a gallon, but sometimes I have to startle you people awake. All right. I pre-plan to be self-disciplined and not self-indulgent. I know it's going to come up. I don't know when. I'm going to be overwhelmed someday. I'm going to be worn out, whatever it is. And I normally would follow this unhealthy pattern, but now I have a better plan. Whenever that happens, my new thinking kicks in, and I say, this time, instead of doing that, I'm going to do this. And self-discipline, step by step, replaces self-indulgence. Do you see? Let's try the other three. Fear-driven. Instead of, when I feel myself being afraid, instead of letting fear drive me, I'm going to say, Christ makes me competent for everything. I am replacing the thought, this is too hard for me, this is dangerous, this isn't going to turn out well, I better be very careful. I'm going to replace that thought with, in Christ I am more than a conqueror. I'm going to replace the fear with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am competent. I don't know what's coming up, but whatever it is, I'm competent. And fear doesn't drive me to be a person I shouldn't be. I'm competent. Inconsistent devotion time. A church, some of you will know this is true. When your devotion time is good, you can't wait for tomorrow. Can you hear this? When my devotion time is good, I hear myself saying, I can't wait to do this tomorrow. Church, I'm replacing the idea, oh, brother, got to do my God time today. I don't really have time for this, but I don't want to go to hell, so better do it. Okay, you replace that with these quiet moments that are beautiful, holy, and rich, and you begin to like it and look forward to it. You're pruning the branch. Something healthy is taking the place of something unhealthy. Replacing faithlessness. The idea that I don't know if God likes me and he wants to bless me or not, I better play it safe. What if you replace that with confidence? Instead of saying, I'm not sure if God likes me and wants to bless me today. You get up in the morning and say, I wonder how God is going to bless me today. I wonder where I'm going to meet the grace of God as I go through my day. I wonder how God is going to break through my puny life and do something beautiful that amazes me. I begin to live with confident expectation. Church, can you hear it? I am rewiring. My brain is becoming different. My emotional patterns are changing. And the thing that made them change was I reached a point in my life where I said, I don't have to be stuck like this. I can be different. And I start identifying what has to go, and I start choosing what I'm going to replace it with. And then I practice it day by day by day by day. Church? Then Jesus said, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. I begin to say to myself what God says to me. I'm sure this room is full of people. I can remember stupid things I did 30 years ago. I don't even have to try. They just pop into my little pea brain. Anybody else? Okay. And if I let myself, it's not one bad memory. That bad memory triggers another. I remember another stupid thing I did. And if I let myself, I remember another stupid thing I did. And then after about 15 minutes of that, I'm going, dude, you're a loser. And I don't enjoy hanging around with you at all. I feel like my buddy Jerry. My brain is the most dangerous place I go to during the day. Jerry? All right. I don't have to do that. I can say a divine affirmation. When my mind says to me, do you remember when you were in 10th grade and you did this ugly thing? I go, yep, I do remember that. But I also know something else. Christ has declared me free. Amen. Christ has justified me. It's true I did that stupid thing, but that's not the whole truth. It's also true that Christ has declared me acceptable with God. I affirm that I am acceptable with God. You see what I'm doing? I am replacing. I am rewiring. In the past, it was a freebie to beat me up with an ugly memory. Now I'm saying there is grace in Jesus Christ, and that grace says I'm forgiven. Did I do that stupid thing? Yes, I did. Did Christ forgive me? Yes, he did. Then there's a second affirmation I want to make. It's the affirmation of sanctification. I'm not the same man today that I was then. Christ has been at work in me, making me a better man. Yes. 10 years ago, I said an ugly thing. I wish I wouldn't have done it. But I'm not the same man that I was then. Christ has been at work in me, and he's making me a better man. That was me then. This is me now. I'm making a healthy affirmation. Do you get it? I'm not allowing something that I can't change to define who I am today. I'm saying that is true. It was true then. But it's also true that Christ forgave me. And it's also true that he's been working on me. It's also true I'm a better man. I am reaffirming the good. I'm not allowing the ugly to be dominant. Christ's teachings make me emotionally clean. Let me show you how this works. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, if you're going to do something charitable, don't sound the trumpet and draw a bunch of attention to yourself. You're just giving yourself a little ego boost. You're just nurturing unhealthy pride. He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You know what he's saying? Practice humility. Consciously practice doing something that is humbling. And that will displace pride. Right? Ooh, they love to have their egos boosted. When they gave charity in the kind of way that everybody clapped for them and they got their name on a plaque. Ooh, they love that. But they wouldn't do it if they didn't get any recognition because their pride wouldn't let them. So you know what Jesus said? I want you to consciously practice things that cause you to be humble and not proud. Figure it out in your own life. What can I do this week that I practice being humble? The world is full of opportunities. People throw garbage everywhere. Just humble yourself, pick it up and throw it away yourself. See, that's not hard. Oh, good. Go for it. People make me grouchy when you throw garbage all over my parking lot. I have to humble myself and pick it up. Church, Christ said, you want to get better? Practice it. You want to confront your pride? Plan to do something that humbles you every day. And you'll rewire yourself, and humility will feel much different, and arrogance will feel much different because you've taught yourself a better way. How about this? In Mark chapter 2, there was a man who was paralyzed. His friends wanted Jesus to heal him. So they put him on a cot, and they hauled him through the city and took him to this house where Jesus was. The trouble is the crowd was everywhere. You couldn't get anywhere near the house. So his buddies pulled him up on the roof of this house. Then they started tearing the shingles off the house. And they let Jesus down into the house. They let the man down in the house in front of Jesus. All right. I'd have said, hey, wait your turn, jerk. No. I'd have said, who's fixing the roof? Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven you. You know what I learned there? I learned that in every situation, Christ is ready to forgive my sins. What if I make that an affirmation? At every moment in my life, Christ is ready to forgive my sins. Instead of me being reluctant to run to him when I do wrong, I have an affirmation. Christ is ready and willing to instantly forgive my sins. And because I have affirmed that, I turn to him quickly when I've done wrong. Church, I don't feel alienated from him. Because I have affirmed the truth, he's ready under any condition to forgive my sin. You see, I'm rewiring my brain. I'm rewiring my emotional self. Something beautiful and healthy is replacing something that is unhealthy and ugly. I believe often we can memorize scripture and remind ourselves of it. Then Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in me, neither can you unless you abide in me. I want to call abiding repeating. I have to have a way of repeating the right thing to myself every day. So what if you did this? I know you all have these fancy phones. You could land the space shuttle with them. Most phones have a mechanism that will allow you to set times to remind yourself of stuff, right? My phone will ring a half hour before an appointment to let me know that I have an appointment in a half hour, okay? Just came wired that way. All right. What if you set 4 times a day, and on your phone, when it buzzed those 4 times throughout the day, each time it buzzed, you simply affirmed to yourself, I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. Doesn't matter what's happened to me today. It doesn't matter how good or bad I've been. God said, I am his child. What kind of love did the Father bestow upon us that we should be called the children of God? That's what God said, I am his child. What if I said to myself 4 times every day, I am a child of God? What if me thinking of myself as a child of God began to replace me thinking of myself as a guy who's never going to get it right? I'm always going to mess up. I'm never going to be pleasing to God. Huh? What if little by little, day by day, my mind is rewired and I begin to say, not that I'm never going to get this right, but that I am a child of God and I'm destined to get this right. You see, that's what abiding is. Abiding is repeating. Repeating to myself again and again and again the affirmations that rewire my thinking and feeling. What if you affirm, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved me. I'm competent. What if you affirm that to yourself every day? Some of you are in hard relationships. What if you say, I am competent to make this better? Just because I don't know how right now doesn't mean that I'm not competent. I am competent to make this better. What if you said to yourself, I am competent to be one of the best people in my workplace? I will be one of the best people in my workplace. I'm competent. What if you said, I am competent to be the best friend my friends have? And you just begin to rewire yourself and say, I am competent. I can do this. I can make a difference in people's lives. I'm competent. Next, sometime this month, February 20th, we want to start our 9:30 children's program. But you know what? I want to start it with people who are affirming themselves that I'm confident I can make a difference in a kid's life. When I was a boy, I had to go to Sunday school. I didn't want to go. I'm telling you the truth, I didn't want to go. I hated it. But in my family, you had no choice. If you weren't dead, you were at Sunday school. Sometimes I had a hard time telling the difference between the two, but you know what got hardwired into my brain at Sunday school? Sit down, shut up. Sit down, shut up. That's what Sunday school, I remember of Sunday school. I also remember, I'm going to tell your dad. When I think of Sunday school, I think of some angry face saying, I'm telling your dad. And when it really got bad, you go to your dad's class. You can't stay in here anymore. That's what I remember of Sunday school. I want to hardwire kids' brains in a very different way. There are some kids that have to come. If they don't, their mother won't feed them for the week. Or make them eat everything they don't like. They have to come. What if you said, I am competent. For 1 hour, I can make that life, the life of that child, special. I can show up here once a week for 1 hour, and I can encourage a kid, and the hardwiring of their brain will be very different than the hardwiring I got. Church? What if you said, I'm not asking you to adopt children. I'm asking for 1 hour. 1 hour of real kindness. 1 hour of focus. 1 hour of attention. 1 hour where that child says, there's at least one person in the world who values me. Church, could you do that? Would you let the Holy Spirit rewire you to say, I'm competent? I'm competent. I could make a difference. Some kids want to come. From time to time, I have a parent say, I wasn't going to come today, but my kids drugged me out of bed. They didn't want to miss. You know why those kids feel that way? Because somebody is treating them differently when they get into their classroom. Something feels like love, and they want to be around it. Something feels like kindness, and they can't wait to experience it. Something feels like gentleness. Someone is hardwiring into them, I think you're special, and I'm happy to spend an hour with you. Do you see how this works? That's what Jesus calls bearing fruit. As I am rewired and I begin to believe that the life of Christ is changing how I think and changing how I feel, I'm competent, I can make a difference in somebody's life, I can bear fruit. Can you hear this, church? I have to rewire my thinking and my feelings. And then the health of Christ starts becoming my health. The health that is in the vine starts becoming the health in me. How does it work? Jesus Christ naturally is full of love, joy, and peace. He doesn't even have to try. All the time he's full of love. All the time he's full of joy. All the time he's full of peace. That's just how he thinks and feels. That's who he is. Now listen. That starts rubbing off on me. Do you see how it works? From the vine comes the life. The love that is natural to Christ, it starts changing how I think and feel, and loving people starts being more natural to me. Living joyfully isn't something I have to try to do. It just becomes naturally who I am because the joy of Christ is changing how I think and how I feel. Do you get this? The faith of Christ, the hope of Christ, Christ's faith and hope start changing me, and I just find that I have more hope in my, I just am a more hopeful person because the Spirit of God is rewiring me, and the life of Christ, the health of Christ, is making me healthy. So then, my emotional and spiritual life are bonded together in ways that cannot be separated. Christ has an emotional and spiritual health that is wonderful, and he's totally committed to sharing it with us. And the way he does it is he challenges us to rethink and rewire how we think and feel so we can be more like him and our lives can be more effective and more influential for good. Our dear Heavenly Father, I call upon your name. I turn to you in hope. I want to be a healthy guy. I want the health of Jesus Christ to become natural to me. I want to think the way Christ thinks. I want to feel the way Christ feels. And I want my life to be productive. I want good things to happen wherever I go. I want good things to happen in my home. I want good things to happen in my workplace. I want good things to happen in my friendships. I want good things to happen in the chance encounters I have with people in life. I want to be a productive life. And so I pray for myself, and I pray for everyone who is here this morning, that you can help us rewire ourselves, and we can be emotionally and spiritually healthy, and our lives can be richly productive wherever you send us. In Christ's name, amen.